I'm Tony Craig. I play Jack Huey on Due South.
I am Catherine Bruyé.
Hey, everyone. This is Ramona Milano, otherwise known as Francesca Vecchio.
This is Paul Haggis, and you're listening to Due South by Southeast.
I wish this podcast would carry me away. But while talking to Squeaky and Michelle get a word in edgeways, wrinkled over a bottle of rum on a darker Southampton bay. Due South, that is what we're talking about. Due South. Saddle up my microphone, give the Finn Baker a bone.
Hello, and welcome to Due South by Southeast. Sorry, we've been out of sound for a little while there, but we're here, we're back. Sorry, it's been a little while. I forgot what did we talk about?
Do we need to explain the dragon mask again?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Right. Sorry, guys. Look, it wouldn't be us if there wasn't some unprofessionalism right off the bat.
Thank you, Facebook user, whoever you might be.
Right. Let's just do a reset now and pretend none of that happened.
None of that happened.
Girl, welcome to Due South by Southeast. It's, of course, our New Year special. Now, you may think, well, that's a bit late for New Year special, but that's where you're wrong. Two things. Not only is it Canadian Flag Day was this week, but also at the beginning of this week was the Chinese New Year, the Year of the Dragon. You can watch Chinatown. What's that? You can watch Chinatown for yourself because it was Chinese New Year. Yeah, so totally on point.
We didn't have that for the first time we did it, did we?
Oh, there you go. So we're here, guys.
A little bit of music. Hi.
And you can hear us now. Yeah, this was a...
thank you, Sarah. Yeah, she said that's better.
That's better. Thank you, Sarah. We're going to be talking about Strange Bedfellows, which was a strange old episode of Due South. They broke a lot of conventions. Yeah. By the way, I'm just going to put it out there as well. Part of the reason... Probably why I didn't notice you couldn't hear us was that I am on some painkillers tonight. I've basically just slightly owied my shoulder, which I dislocated and broke and all sorts of jazz last year. So, it's a bit owie and I'm on painkillers. But it's all going to be good. We can get through this.
We're going to get through it. It's going to be fine.
We're going to get through this.
He's on painkillers and we have rum, so...
Yes. Which brings us to one of our orders of business. Sorry, one second. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm sorry, I don't have my iPad to hand, so that means I'm doing the theme tunes. Yo, ho, ho, we're getting drunk as hell. Tell me what rum are we drinking, Michelle? Hey! 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 Hey!
Wow.
What rum are we drinking? This is courtesy of my brother, by the way.
Let me turn it round. Gonna do my best here to show it to the camera.
Yep, there's
Crusty Juggler. I don't know if you can see it very well on there, but Crusty Juggler.
It was made in Cornwall.
Very well. There's a really good.
My brother did quite an epic walk all across the country, and he brought me back this rum from his travels.
Very nice rum.
It's very nice rum. Very nice rum. We're very much.
We haven't had this one.
Very caramelly.
We haven't had this one on the podcast before, and it says on here. It's won an international trophy as well for silver.
Silver.
So, very good. Very good.
It's a lovely drop. Yeah. Say so very caramelly. Very nice. Goes very well we're having it with Sprite. Nice little, it's a bit of lemonade, but it's got that extra little lime hit as well, which mixed very well.
Black spiced rum bursting with deep, I never know how to say it,
Demerara sugar.
Yeah, the brown sugar.
Demerara.
Brown sugar.
Demerara.
creamy vanilla, and a big old helping of exotic spice.
It is a big old helping of exotic spice, and we would recommend it.
It's really good.
Yeah, if you can get hold of that, please do.
Crusty Juggler.
Crusty Juggler.
We love a bit of Crusty Juggler.
We love a bit of Crusty Juggler, we do.
You've got to go a bit West Country when you're saying that for some reason. Sorry.
Did I say, by the way, I'm Detective Squee. With me, of course, and I would hate to miss her out or leave her to last. It's, of course, it's Willow, Detective Willow, Lieutenant Willow, Lieutenant Willow, I think we decided we were going to go with. By the way, yeah, she's here. You might have missed her because she's quite small. It is, of course,
hi,
Minnie Mountie Michelle.
And I may have pointed this out before. He does make me sit in a smaller chair as well, just to make me look that little bit smaller.
Hey, the chair just reveals what the chair reveals.
It's smaller than your chair.
Yeah, but just you're smaller than me. What's your point?
Exactly. It makes it look worse. I'm already smaller, then you make me look even smaller.
Anyway, that's Michelle. So we've also got the business of, well, like what we do is for our specials, like for our Christmas special, and this is, of course, our New Year special, which is totally timely. We open up our golden circle and we shower you with gold as we bring in new inductees to the golden circle. So, Minnie Mountie Club, golden circle, golden circle, golden circle, golden circle, golden circle. So, Michelle,
yes.
And far past time, I should have thought this at the Christmas one, but of course, the one inductee we have to put into our golden circle. She inspirited the body of Due South. She lived in the world of Diefenbaker for cheekiness while still being kind. We, of course, commit to the golden circle. Dottie Baker, R.I.P. If you'd like to induct her.
Number 17. On the golden circle.
It's a rare club as the golden circle.
I don't know why.
What did you do?
Ignore. They can't see anyway. They don't need to know.
Okay. This is one of our induction.
I just made myself laugh. I'm very sorry.
This is one of our induction ceremonies. I.e., not why. Is that an I.E.?
That's an okay, I.E.
That's not.
I guess. That's not the mistake I made.
Her handwriting is not good. It's not.
I know what I've written. And it is our lovely Dottie.
Dottie is in the golden circle. So we leave the golden circle for another year. Michelle, though, I believe you had an inductee to the regular Mini Mountain Club.
I do. And continue on the theme.
I love, by the way, the golden circle. Hold that to the camera for a second. Hold that out to the camera.
I want to.
Michelle, hold this up to the camera. This is our famed golden circle, the thing which is like, only special people go into our golden circle.
I'm going to print this out, I think.
You probably can't see this.
Oh, no,
you can't.
What a shame.
But all you would see is, like, names going off an angle into our regular list. There you go. Oh, God.
Yeah, the wonky one on the... Yeah, that's the...
That's the golden circle. That is our big-time famous Mini Mounties.
They're so special, they can't be written in a straight line.
That's Sarah Kirk saying, on your painkillers and I'm on the Baileys.
Oh, enjoy your...
Well, I'm on the painkillers and rum, so that's going to be a good idea.
Say, enjoy your Baileys, enjoy your painkillers and your Jaileys.
Your Jaileys. And you've had less to drink than me.
I have no excuse for this. I'm very sorry. I haven't actually had much to drink at all.
Enjoy your Jaileys, Sarah.
Painkillers. I've had no painkillers. I hope you're okay, Sarah, anyway.
I don't know if that means she's on painkillers as well or if she's just on her Baileys while I'm on my painkillers.
You're on painkillers and I'm on Baileys. Yeah, I think she's just on the pain. Oh,
so she's just on the Baileys.
She's just on the Baileys. Oh, why is everything so complicated tonight?
Life just is complicated. So anyway, Michelle.
Yes.
So we've dealt with who's on the Baileys. We've dealt with the Mini Mountie Club list. We've dealt with... what we're drinking. I think it's time to talk about this week's episode.
Wait.
What?
No.
Oh, I've
put somebody on the Mini Mountie.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You were just beers, no meds. Oh, sorry. Is that Sarah again? But her name
No,
that
normally comes up with Sarah. That's someone else. Whoever
just beers,
you are,
no meds. Well, enjoy your beers.
Facebook user, enjoy your beers.
Good. Beers are good.
Glad you're on no meds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've got a Mini Mountie list.
Yeah, who's
we're doing the Mini Mountie. Did you do the song already?
Mini Mountie Club, eh? I did that already. Golden Circle, I said before.
Yeah,
okay.
You said Golden
Standard Circle. Standard Circle, Standard Circle, Standard Circle. What number are we up to?
133.
And by the way, just a reminder, this was a silly bit which was meant to get up to 100 Mini Mounties, which has no criteria, and we're up to 133. It is a joke which went out of hand, and I'm so pleased it did. It's so much fun. So much fun.
But I would like to continue on the theme of having animals as part of our Mini Mountie Club.
Of course, we adore the animals in our Mini Mountie Club.
So I'm adding Rolo, who is a cat.
Rolo the cat.
Rolo the cat. This is Tommy's cat.
Tommy, which is, of course, the boyfriend of Neve, your daughter. Yeah. Yeah.
He has a beautiful black cat who's being inducted, unbeknownst to him, into our Mini Mountie Club.
We induct
sure,
all.
Rolo wouldn't mind.
Yeah, no, Rolo.
We
Rolo was.
Nothing of Rolo.
We know Rolo's a big fan of this show.
I mean, why wouldn't he be? Come on.
Exactly.
Rolo.
Rolo. Rolo is now in the Mini Mountie Club.
Do you have anyone?
No, I put one in. I put Dottie in. Into the Golden Circle. Okay. So I was doing the important work.
Moving on swiftly.
So, I believe we're on to the episode now.
Yes, let's do that.
So we specifically made note of who wrote this one and directed it.
We did. I've got to find it again now, then.
How many page notes did we get up to?
That's not my artwork. Not my artwork.
You know, just like looking at pictures which have been drawn. Have you gone past it? Surely you've gone past it, the notes now, haven't you?
Oh no! I saw it. No, we haven't gone past it.
God, this is great! Great podcasting. We're just looking through you, looking through your notes, going, "Oh, I'm sure it's in there somewhere, dear."
Do you
know what? I'm going to
make this digital, so it's not all on paper, and then we're going to look so professional.
Yeah, this week, obviously, is it?
Not this week. No, not.
So, who directed it and who wrote it?
So, director George Bloomfield,
which very famed director of G South, which actually kind of surprised me because I don't know if this is, I'm pretty sure he did some of the earlier series, but this seems very, very different stylistically for G South. This is a very interesting episode, the way in which it's shot.
Very different.
And written, actually, for that matter. And it's written by
Paul Haggis and P.B. Carney.
And I've just got to address it. I'm just going to address it. Front on, like, we are aware of the allegations, and I believe by this stage, out now, proven in the court of law, facts about Paul Haggis. It's a very difficult one because we do want to talk about G South and all the episodes, but we do want to acknowledge that there is a perhaps problematic thing with this guy. It's very difficult for me because, like, I'm never a conspiracy theorist. When something's been proven in a court of law, that does change it. But we also do know that the Scientology Church has been out specifically to raise allegations against him, which aren't true. Which I can't help but does make me look at this in some questioning light, even though, you know, I want to believe the woman who came forward. But anyway, all this is just to say, really, we're just going to talk about it as a piece of art. We're going to ignore where the art comes from. I'm sorry if this lost some people here, but I just wanted to kind of like pay mention to it. Like, I don't want to seem like we're ignoring this kind of very thorny issue. But we're just going to take the art as the art is. And this was one of the last ones, I think, written by Paul Haggis, who kind of would go on to leave the show. We're just going to talk about the episode as the episode and nothing more. Okay. That having been said, let's talk about this episode.
Swiftly. So it was an interesting start to the episode, this one. So it started, we've got Benny and he's having a psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
There's Thatcher and there's this guy, they're showing him these like litmus testings, like asking what he's seeing out of these pictures.
Yeah, so truth, justice, criminal, cop.
Yeah.
Very black and white, as we know our Benny to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's seeing things as we would kind of, we think that he's going to see things this way. He's very, very focused on his job and the law, and that's the kind of stuff he's seeing. So, yeah, no big surprises for us. One thing that we were kind of talking about was the guy that was in this scene. We don't know his ethnicity, but it's pretty stereotypical.
Yeah, I was kind of worried. I don't think it is, but it sort of, the performance did remind me of some of the maybe a Short Circuit 2-esque performances,
exactly, which were done
by white guys dressed as Asian guys. And if this was an Asian guy, and I honestly wasn't sure, if it was, he seemed to be written to play it up very heavily in this episode, which seems a little bit problematic now. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm sure back in the day we wouldn't have batted nine had done it. But
no, yeah, but we look with more aligned eyes now.
Raise our eyebrows this time, didn't it? It was the way it was played didn't seem very authentic. just an interesting thing that
I think we'll leave that. I don't know what else to say about that, but
it did
feel uncomfortable somehow.
Very interesting way to start the episode, I thought, having Benny analysed by a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what was going on. It was like, bam, like straight into it, wasn't it? It was like, oh, okay.
I think this is a more, certainly more jokey portrayal of Benny. I mean, as it's more prevalent in this series going forward. But yeah, they have a bit of fun with the character here, and I appreciate trying something new, but there's some bits I prefer to others, I must admit.
Yeah, and then so we move on from this scene, and we've got Rennie, I've merged their names, Benny and Ray. They're in Ray's car, and it was interesting because they were sitting in the car and they're watching this couple that are kissing, and
lascivious acts. I believe he calls it.
And he's Ray's complaining about what he's seeing. And look at this kissing, the lascivious act, as he puts it.
He studied some old law, like lascivious acts. It sounds like the sort of thing which Benny would come up with usually, which is kind of quite fun little play on that.
It's like, he's like, oh, they should be doing this in the street, blah, blah, blah. He's like moaning at this couple, isn't it? Because we don't realise at the time that the woman that's actually kissing this guy is actually Ray's ex-wife.
Yeah, and again, it's like, this episode does raise a few little questions about how things were back then compared to now. And the fact that Ray, I don't think you would now have him stalking his ex-wife in this way.
I would hope not.
In a casual tea time sort of like comedy drama detective thing. I think the way you look at that now would be different. That's just, but then he does save a life. which I'm not saying excuse it, but I'm just saying that's what happens next sequentially.
So bizarrely, Ray and Benny are just sitting there watching Ray's ex-wife snog this guy. But then someone tries to take their life, and Ray saves their life. So that's where it all kind of starts from. And this is how we find out that it's actually Ray's ex-wife as well.
Yeah. Stella.
Stella, as her name is. And
which maybe I'm like looking stuff now. Seems like a funny link because they're into dancing and stuff. Now I think a musical theatre. And Stella! You're from Streetcar Named Desire? Well, the woman in that is Streetcar. I mean, I don't know the play that well, but it's a famous thing where this guy sings Stella! And he's like this big burly guy who's... Streetcar Named Desire. Sorokak has written, I'm not as familiar with Series 3 as I am the first two. Sarah, you need to start watching them again.
Yeah, come on, Sarah.
Watch them with us.
Yourself on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch them along.
Yeah, we give you enough breaks. Like, we try and do this as often as possible, but Jesus Christ. Life gets in the way.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so following on from, you know, Ray, like, saves her life, then we get the whole gang there, really. We get Huey and Dewey and Walsh.
Yeah, we get the introduction to Dewey, our friend Tom Melissa's sisters. Yeah, yeah. Tom, welcome. Like,
friend of the show.
Well, that's why I love it. It's like he watches every now and again, and he does comment on these videos, and it just means so much to us. I'm really looking forward to Tom. Now you're into our rewatch in the episodes we're watching. Be lovely to get you on the show. I'm thinking, I've been throwing this for a while now. My 24-hour video podcast marathon is going to come back at some point this year. I'm thinking by then, if we can get a few episodes into episodes with Tom in it, then he'd be a wonderful guest. So if he'd be willing to do that, if we can sort out, obviously this is dependent on Tom's schedule, and I'm not saying that he's agreed to do this. He in no way has. Just he said in principle about doing the podcast at some point. So that would be a really great opportunity to get him on if he happens to be free. But that's something for conversations for later.
Definitely, that would be awesome, especially now we're at the point where he's coming into the show.
But either way, we will be doing Due South by Southeast as always for Screwfest. That is a staple. It has to be in there. This might be around when Michelle is free on the night. Being
Could be anytime.
A wonderful NHS nurse. Last thing, I'm going for 24 hours, so at least 1 hour in the day you will be free shortly.
I'd be free at some point, wouldn't you? So
it's the principle anyway we work on, and I always book it so it's like after whatever shift you might be working. But anyway, that's a thing for another day. So yeah, so we get Tom Melissa's. I did notice he was very young and very, very hunky in this episode.
We enjoyed your
I mean, he's a silver fox now, as aren't we all? But very young and lovely. Sarah Kirk's put sorry, just go around the screen there. I do have all the DVDs, so I need to watch them more often. Yes, you do, Sarah. Yeah, yeah, do catch up on series 3 and series 4, as it's known in some territories. Over here was 3 series, and the last one is called season 3. So
yeah, it'd be good to have a catch up with them all, Sarah. And
yeah, catch up with us. Come on, join us on the journey.
Hopefully it makes some sense on what we're talking as well. So that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, hope you remember enough to remember what we're talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
Or we're taking you back there.
So after this scene, I think Thatcher has a chat with Benny as well. So after he's had his analysis, and it's looking like they're a little bit worried about his mental state, and she tells him, "Hey, it's all right. You just chill out. Turnbull's going to take your place."
Yeah, he's going to take over the shift. And how was he rated?
How was he rated? Oh, I just wrote Turnbull is replacing Benny. How was he rated? I can't remember what they said about
Like, him. He was rated like subpar or something.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think later on they kind of say that, you know.
Oh, sorry, was that later on? Sorry, I'm jumping again.
I think that came a little bit later, but. Yeah, because I think at the beginning they kind of make it look like, maybe they're a little bit concerned about how they're feeling about Benny and Turnbull's going to take your place. Like, you go for a little rest. Yeah. That's how you kind of feel like the same.
Benny goes like, aren't they going to miss me back at the station? No, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Yeah, yeah.
They'll be fine.
They've said to keep you here.
Don't you worry, they'll be fine.
Yeah, and yeah, no, this the Walsh scene, isn't it? The first Walsh scene.
Yeah, so we got the first Walsh scene, and I think we had kind of comments about how Walsh was in this.
Yeah, because Walsh usually very take charge, usually isn't taking any guff. He seems a bit more subservient in this one. Like, you know, the guys tell him what they're doing, and he goes along with it. He's like, he's catching up to them, which is So it's always nice to see them able to do something different. But again, it's another one of these examples of how this episode is very different from usual G-South fare and how G-South's been so far. Even the way it's shot, I don't know if we talked about this yet.
Yeah, I don't think we've actually spoken about it yet, but as we were watching, we definitely spoke about it. There was so much that felt different.
Yeah, the camera quality seemed just different.
The camera angle, everything just felt just a little bit different in this episode.
And we'll get to it, but there's a bit where they have like Ray in his mind dancing with Stella, and you see them dancing across the water. That's something which They've done kind of like a few kind of fanciful things, like Benny and Victoria, like they're in a snow globe and you see the snow falling. But this seems more, it felt more like a 80s or 90s music video somehow in places. It was a very much departure for the series, I felt, yeah.
Definitely. There was a lot that was quite different. I don't want to, I was going to say something, but I felt like we're jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
I won't say, maybe we'll come on to it later on. So I wrote down X equals Y and Y equals X.
Oh, yeah, this is Stella's new fella. He's a political centre or something.
Yeah, he was some kind of like candidate.
He gives this speech, which is meant to be like to someone who's going to say, go, hey, I'm the kind of guy who's like X equals Y, Y equals X. And it's like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Vice versa somehow, I don't know.
Yeah, so he was like a kind of like high up political guy that Ray's ex-wife is dating at the moment. Obviously Ray was very jealous.
And he seems like, I mean, it's kind of like quite sweet that he's very like I trust my partner, but like very much also felt naive, kind of like very like, well, do you not care enough to be a little bit jealous? It almost seems like to not be jealous at all lies a little bit of care somehow.
Yeah, because the attempt had been made on which they thought was the boyfriend's life, because, you know, he's a political figure. They thought this attempt on the life was on him. Walsh actually makes Ray the bodyguard for both of them, doesn't he? For my ex-wife and her new boyfriend? Okay. I mean, that's a perfectly normal.
The boyfriend requests it.
Yeah, he did. He requests it.
Mm.
So Walsh is like, yeah, fine. Yeah, you know, Ray, you're the new bodyguard for your ex-wife and her new boyfriend. And that's how this like awkward conversation comes about. It's a bit of a strange situation. You would think there would be a bit of a conflict of interest and it wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah.
Yes, it's your ex-wife to actually be the bodyguard, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but I think
not a problem at all.
I think the suggestion was, though, that they'd gone along with it because otherwise he could press charges against Ray for being there unexplained. Yeah, so I think the implication was because he requested it, it was like, well, look, if this is going to keep him happy, we can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a bit part of it as well.
Very likely. Yeah, and so they're asked to escort the Orsini and the ex-wife, like back to his home, aren't they? And even like Diefenbaker, because they, I think they start kissing in the back, and even Diefenbaker was like unhappy. And he was like,
yeah,
in the back seat.
Diefenbaker, I love the fact that it's not really mentioned. Just Diefenbaker's just there in the back seat with them.
He's just in the back seat, yeah. And he's like, and I think one of them actually comments that Dief is unhappy about the kissing.
Yeah. Dief is such a prude in this
episode. Did they say that about Dief? I think they actually, one of them might have actually said, oh, Dief is such a prude or something.
I think that was me.
It might have been you.
Yeah, I said Dief's a prude. I literally said that.
These are prudes because they're kissing.
I think someone's on the screen said, no, that was me. That was me.
Maybe it's you. There's this really weird moment as well. I think it was Orsini gets out of the car and goes into his house, but the ex-wife is still in the car. And I think there's a conversation that goes on. And then Ray kind of goes to his internal voice. And
we hear his internal voice again. It's very stylistically
different to all the other episodes that we've seen. And he's like, the things that he wants to say to her, but he can't, but he's saying them in his head, like, I still love you and all this.
Yeah, I mean, have we got to the bit where he goes past and Benny puts his foot out?
Not yet. No.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
That hasn't happened yet.
Pretend I didn't say anything.
You didn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really weird. Like, the things that Ray wants to say, he's like, you know, I still love you, I still care about you, blah, blah, whatever it is he's saying, he's like, it's all in his head, and then he just comes out and says something like, yeah, okay, bye then, or whatever.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit, it's a random pull, but I was a big fan of Cheers, and there was one episode where Dan's about to leave with this guy who she's got engaged to, and Sam's there and he's like talking to him going, hey, look, goodbye, just want to wish you good luck with everything, I'll see you later, please stay. And it's like, oh, what was that? He goes, oh, nothing, look, I just want to say like, I'm very happy you met someone, you're very happy, and that's great, and just good luck with the rest of your life. Please, I'm gonna kill myself if you go. I'm just going, what was that? Nothing. I'm just saying, just good luck. Okay, she's going, okay, I'm gonna go now. I would stay if you asked me. What was that? It's like, it was, yeah, it was one of those sweet moments, and it felt a bit like yeah. that this moment. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, but it wasn't anything from her end. Was
yeah,
there?
But it was like, it was all in his head, so it wasn't even to that point yeah. where it was audible.
Yeah,
just in his head, he was continuing on this conversation, just felt weirdly sweet. You know, it's like
yeah,
we've all been in that position where we know there's something we wish we'd said, you know, yeah. But we just can't get out of our mouth.
And it was a bit. I think you asked me to write it down. It was, I think it was still while they were in the car as well, that Benny says to Ray, "You're acting really strange tonight, Ray."
Yeah.
"You've just stalked your wife, saved her life,
yeah.
driven her back to her boyfriend's house. You've been really weird with her. You're acting a bit strange tonight, Ray."
Yeah, only now. I mean, everything he's done in this episode has been strange.
Yeah.
Benny's been acting a bit strange, to be frank.
Yeah, even Benny.
There's just something, there's yeah. just a different energy to him. He's like, he's still the good guy, but it's like, I kind of like the fact that he does learn as episodes go on. But at the same time, I want him to stay that very innocent Boy Scout. He's like, he, even if he learns that there's other ways to be, he still chooses to be the good guy. A couple of bits go slightly against that, like in very minor ways. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't ruin the character or anything, but it's just, I'm kind of quite a purist when it comes to Benny, because he is such a, he's the best in all of us.
Yeah.
And I want him to always be that.
We have very high expectations.
We do, we do. It's a very sweet character.
Oh, yeah, so then I made mention of the fact that so I think we just got to a point where we just thought, this really feels like it's been shot very differently. It was like, even the colours, like even like Benny's, like the red on his uniform and everything was so bright and everything was just kind of standing out. Like,
yeah, and
a different way it was shot, the way they, like the things we've been saying, like the way they're shooting things with like Ray and his internal voice. They've never done anything quite like that before.
Well, I was trying to think. I was trying to like think if the other episodes from this series, because we're only four episodes into this series, I was trying to remember if any of the other ones looked like this. I don't think they did, though. I think this is a departure from this episode, so yeah. Maybe
it feels like there's a lot different about this one.
Well, again, just talking about the moving projection, that's all. Mm. But like, I think this was, it was a few episodes into this series where Paul had to stop writing for them and they start to like maybe move other things over at that time. I don't know, I'm just kind of speculating. Mm. But this was really when Paul Gross was out in charge, you know. I think after this episode going forward, if I'm right, something about now that it was starting to make a shift. So maybe they brought in some new shooting techniques, some new kind of like, hey, let's experiment with this a bit more. Got a comment. Benny Barr is way too high for me to live up to. Well, hey,
none of us can live up
none
to
of us
it.
Can.
None of us can.
No, I'm not expecting us immortals to live up to it. I'm just talking about Benny
as
a character living up to it, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
sometimes it's even hard for him to live up to the expectations of Benny. And I think like one of the things that's funny enough I was just about to come on to, because I think like, because they're supposed to be the bodyguards, I think they go back the next day, don't they, and Ray realizes that actually his ex-wife spent the night at this guy's house because they'd had an argument and she'd stormed off, and he didn't realize that she was actually going to spend the night with this guy.
Yeah.
So when they go back the next day, you know, Ray sees her come out. And he's just like, oh, she spent the night, damn it, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I think a bit out of character for Benny we see then, because I think Benny, he's not acting like he's upset for Ray at all.
Yeah.
He's not acting like it, but there's little actions that he's taking. It's like, oh, you know, you're upset at my friend, kind of a thing. Because then when this guy like walks down to the car, Benny opens the door just at a time it's about to like, bang, smack,
this what I mean. Yeah.
You know, it's like, bam, he's like, oh.
And Benny isn't usually like that, you know. Benny's usually the white guy. Yeah. He's the guy who never, he never phrases to stuff, and it's like,
and he's not
yeah.
acting that way, but he just kind of acts out a little bit, and he's
and maybe he's just testing his own boundaries to, like, you know, hey, look, this is how Ray or Stanley Ray here likes things, and maybe like I will give him this. Because he's like in a very stressful situation, he's like, it's his ex-wife and stuff. So maybe I can step out of my comfort zone to give him something which will mean something to him, and it's not too heavily hurting someone. It's like, but it does seem like I'm like
paid on the ball.
It does seem like I'm like Benny to do any harm to someone. Yeah. It just does. It's an interesting one. Yeah,
it had to be purposeful. It yeah, had to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's not ambiguous. Yeah. It was definitely him. Him whack him in the nuts with a car door.
But this is what Benny does now.
Just is what Benny does. Okay. He's falling with the bad crowd he has.
And yeah, so then they kind of they follow on to the next bit where this Orsini guy, so they show him he's talking up this community he's supposed to be building, you know, he's tearing down all this terrible part of the city, and he's building all these new places, and then there's people protesting at the back because that's their home, and they're tearing down their home, and they're making it unaffordable for them to live
there. Oh, no, I mean, I like the messaging.
There's ups and downs to it, isn't there?
I like the messaging.
Ups and downs to it. So it's you know, they're trying to improve the area, but then the people that live there are feeling like they're being pushed out of it. So it's, you know.
Well, I was going to say is I like the messaging, but still. I think earlier episodes where they went to the apartment block in which Benny was living and they, you've got to know the characters, you've got to like feel for them and care about it on a personal level. This kind of brushes over that. It's like, you know, just we're faced with this thing where he's building apartment blocks where there is like people living there and everything. It's kind of like it's very surface level compared to those earlier episodes.
Yeah.
So I do miss that. I think that's something which I miss in this episode is having a deep dive. Like,
I love that with the old apartment block and the people living with them, those interactions. Yeah. I do miss that actually.
Yeah. And this again, it's like, yeah, you're going through, really, the main thrust of it is Ray's relationship with his ex, Stella.
Yeah.
And not about the people who are involved. And it was just, again, this, like, a very different kind of episode. I do miss a bit of the classic juice out here.
Yeah. I think at this point they were trying, because there were protesters about it, they're trying to make it look like maybe these protesters have tried to kill him and that they were the people behind the death threats and...
Yeah.
Previous attempt on the life and everything, and you know that's how they're making it look at this point anyway, and you know, and we find out that's actually not the case. So you know, Benny and Ray, because of the bodyguards, they're following them on from this as well. So then they go to these council meetings as well, don't they? And
yes,
and Ray comes out just kind of like, oh, you know, that was so boring, blah blah blah, and Benny comes out, oh, I think that was very interesting actually, oh, just listening to them talk about this, so blah, blah blah blah, all this stuff. So Benny clearly paid a lot of attention at them at the time. You're just kind of thinking it's funny, one of them's bored, one of them just really enjoyed it, and you're not realizing just exactly what Benny took in from that.
Yes,
that comes into play later on, doesn't it? which was quite interesting.
See, Benny knows what's going on. He pays attention. This is like, that felt very Benny. That was nice, yeah, in character moment.
Very Benny.
Yeah.
So Ray dancing with X.
Yeah, they have a little dance, don't they?
Yeah.
And it was really weird. Wasn't this the one where his current partner is encouraging them to dance? He almost seems like really want it to happen, almost to a creepy extent. No, dance for me, I've gone, I trust you, I trust you so much, I want this to happen, I'm just gonna be in the bushes, hello, one off the
it was weird though, wasn't it?
It seemed,
and then
like...
she was like, well fine, if you want this to happen, I shall go and dance with my ex-husband then.
Yeah,
very weird. And then
very weird. Yeah, very weird. Look, it's fine to be okay if they go, hey, it's all right if I have danced with my ex to this music. You know what? Thank you for asking. That's cool. Like, I trust you. That's fine. But it's like, no, you will fucking dance with him. It's like that.
I don't care. do what you want. Is your ex. Go and do whatever you want with him. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy my night. You carry on, guys. Very weird. Very weird, I thought.
I think he was sexually turned on by it.
Maybe he
I
was.
Just think that's what was happening.
Maybe he was. We will never know.
But he definitely was.
Yeah, and there's a champagne bottle that gets sent to their table. And as the waiter is undoing the champagne bottle, I mean, this is the thing that only someone like Benny could spot. Only Benny.
Yep.
It was, you know, like the way, like when you're untwisting the thing to take it off, so you've got the cork free to pop.
And we should know, we have some Prosecco before we came on mic.
I did not pay attention to which way you turned it.
But apparently if you turn it, it's like clockwise to turn it usually, and he turned it counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise.
And the funny thing is, that would make sense because you were returning it to reseal it after you put something nefarious in there. That kind of makes sense. I love the fact that when they throw in the water as well and it just doesn't go off, then Benny jumps in to try and get the bits of the cork.
Yeah. So it was that.
Yeah. It does go off. It doesn't.
Explode, yeah. Yeah. That's why I meant. It's going mad. Yeah. It was set up to explode.
Yeah. And it did explode.
So once it's in the water, it actually explodes. So they could have been killed. And Benny noticed that they were turning it the wrong way. So
and you have to be really careful bomb. After an explosive's gone off. That'll surely cause waves, which are going to be dangerous if you jump in afterwards.
But it's Benny.
Anyway, but he jumps in. He goes, and like next thing it cuts to, like after he jumps in, it cuts to him in Walsh's office just putting the bits of cork on the desk and saying what they all kind of like relate to and who's most likely to be responsible. Yeah, and it's like the thing about like, I mean, again, it's a weird plot, this one. It's about Stanley and his ex. Oh, sorry, Ray, I should say, in this situation, and his ex. Mm. But you've got this other girl who works on the campaign and her ex, who's the one who's actually responsible.
Yeah, because I don't know if we actually wrote anything down about that. At one point,
it was a weird sort of subplot. I mean,
there was barely anything shown of it either, was it?
Yeah.
So Ray's ex, Stella, she is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And she was... she was going through a case where a woman.
Oh yeah, she was representing the case. Yeah, cross.
Yeah, she was representing this woman who was divorcing her husband, and there was a very brief thing that was shown about it. So as Ray is like looking a bit of a stalker, they show her telling this woman, "No, you need to get away from this man. He's no good for you."
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that kind of like going on as well, wasn't there? It's like you ladies gotta go get away from these bad men.
Yeah, it just seems so weird as a sort of towards the conclusion of this episode that it's this guy who we weren't really following and who wasn't that really interesting in the episode and who was outside the core of the episode, which was about Ray and like it would have been better if they'd had a way to tie it into the congressman. Like if he had been the candidate or whatever, like if he had been the guy who was maybe crooked or maybe knew something about the crookedness or was trying to fight against it. It looked like he was guilty and then he's innocent and someone else who was working with was guilty. We didn't know. That would have tied it more into the main episode. Like really this does feel a bit disjointed for a Due South episode. Mm. As interesting as the shooting of it is and the way they've done it, you know, and then that I do applaud them for. Like I've never seen the camera effects, which you see in this episode used before in Due South.
Do you know what, I think the only thing that seemed very kind of like really authentic of the Due South episodes, I think, was the music.
The music continued to be very good.
Authentic Due South music all throughout, very appropriate for all the different scenes and everything. It was all just other little bits that were going on. All the other little bits. Not that they were bad.
They were bad.
They just weren't authentic.
They weren't authentic. They weren't.
Thank you for taking the piss.
That's right. I totally agree. It just, it sort of broke a few Due South rules sometimes.
You're right, Lieutenant Willow.
Yeah.
You're coming in to say hello.
I think sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Willow.
Where's she going?
There's Willow. Just there. See ya.
I'm trying to get an old face.
Making a little cameo.
Trying to get an old face in there. There she is.
This is the winning moment of the week.
Anything to say?
Hello.
No.
Hello, Willow. I'm talking.
Yeah, I quite agree with everything you've said already.
Nothing like her.
No, no, that's not what I've said.
You're doing, will you?
Oh, you just want to come get your face on the telly. Yeah.
Always a firm favourite here on G South by Southeast. It's Willow. And we also always have classed to Dottie.
I'm lifting a microphone. I need to
lift microphone to Dottie.
She's knocking my arm. I'm going to spit it.
So anyway,
yeah, so the next bit that I wrote down is that we had a nice scene with, we had Walsh, we had Francesca.
Oh, Francesca.
Civilian.
Lovely, lovely Francesca.
Would you like to make the noise you made when you saw her?
Oh. Was that it?
I think it was more pervy than that the first time.
Ooh. Oh, oh, Francesca. Oh, hello. And I'm saying hello, Francesca. And meanwhile, Sarah Kirk, our good friend, is saying, hello, Willow. Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello,
Willow. Although, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound pervy, but when I did get to interview Romano Milan.
Romano. No, I can't say it now.
Ramona Milano.
That's the
one. When I got to interview her, absolutely lovely, and she was poolside in a bikini, and like I'm just going to say, totally respectfully, like she is now in her 40s, as am I. I think we're around the same age. My God, we're a different species, though. she looks amazing. Like the fact that she looks that amazing in her 40s, I just want to give credit. Like it's obviously she must work out and all this stuff all the time. I think it's amazing. Yeah, just enough respect to
a wonderful person. Stop fangirling.
A wonderful person and a beautiful human being inside and out. That's all I want to say. You thought I was being pervy, but no. But also,
whoa. I think, yeah, both of us. Whoa.
Oh, what? You're falling over as well. No one's blaming you. It's yeah, when we both, it's like when we both see Ben and go, whoa.
We both do, come on.
There we go, whoa for Franny. And we go, whoa for Benny. Ooh.
And whoa for Francesca.
Whoa on Trashka.
Anyways.
We've lost a few viewers on that one, I think.
Yeah, so after I wrote Ray and Stella moment. I'm trying to think, is that...
Yeah, they have this moment where she... Well, where she goes to say to him, like, you know, I can leave him for you, basically. Like, she does offer, and he's the one.
I know what it was now.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, there was this moment.
I've got something in a sec then.
Yeah, I think they were walking out. They had this moment where I think, like, Ray was, like, looking down, and then, like, she went to, like, touch his, like, face.
Yeah.
But then he looked up. And she looked down, and then like he almost went in for a kiss, and it's like they were both like having these like moments, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, but nothing's gonna happen.
Well, what I really liked is it does the opposite to what they did previously with the original Ray and his ex, because there he was kind of like pushing for it almost, and then realized it wasn't the right thing, whereas this Ray. No, it's not the right thing, and like you can see he wants it, but it's like he goes like, no, we're not doing this, you know, this is not a good idea, and he's the one who actually cuts it off, which I think is kind of beautiful and really cool. It just does something a bit different from what we've seen before. But yeah, as you say, they have like that, they do have that moment of looking each other's eye, and you know they both want it.
Yeah,
and that's different from deciding to do it though. Sarah Kirk, I think to your point, says I agree, Michelle, Sarah saying she agrees with you.
Oh, pardon.
Yeah.
This is annoying because I wrote down next to this Ray and Benny's character moment or scenes, but I don't know what that was now. The Ray and Benny moment.
Yeah, but they were in our scenes. They have a nice little moment.
What was the moment about?
I have no idea. I can't remember now.
So they had a moment.
They had a moment.
They had a moment. I think
it was nice. It was nice. Moving on. Yeah.
That's really annoying. Subservience. Can't read my writing.
That's helpful.
Wilson, Willis.
Where are we? Like, point to where the thing is.
Subservient.
Walsh. Walsh being subservient again.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because we were talking about that earlier on as well. It's like, once again.
Yeah.
You know, where's the authority? We like the authority with him, don't we?
Yeah. And it's like Benny comes in and like kind of directs him a little bit. Yeah. Like, so what do we know? And then he's like, it feels like he's leading everything.
Everything. It's just so unlike him. It's like, we're so used to the fact that, like, Ray and Benny are, like, coming in just like, rah, 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 and Walsh is like, oh, this is so annoying. And he's, you know.
Yeah, what's the Mountie doing here?
Yeah, he's so frustrated by everything. And he's kind of, like, taking the lead on everything. And it's the complete opposite in this one.
And I would
what
say.
What happened to Walsh?
I would say that the good thing about this series is, in this series, it does expand out on some of those characters. And it does give him a chance to do different things. But here it just feels like he's not being Walsh.
He's not.
And he needs to be Walsh himself. Yeah.
It's like they've started him with some new meds and they've just, it's just, you know, no mention of it. It's just.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. It's very weird. Where's our Walsh gone? Maybe he's coming back.
Sarah's getting raunchy now.
Oh.
I have lots of Ray and Benny moments in my dreams. Come on now, Sarah. Come on, it's a family show now. It's a family show.
Yourself.
Apart from when we swear, it's a family show.
I mean, you know, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, I wish I could remember that moment between them. They were, because it is a very different dynamic with this.
It's so different. Benny. You know, we're so used to this whole dynamic of they come in, Walsh is annoyed, but they go off, but he ends up supporting them in the end. But, you know, there's all this conflict.
I remember in this episode, it feels. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say that usually there's like conflict between everyone, but he's just like, we'll go with whatever you say. Yeah, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say. Oh, yeah, we're going to put you on this. So this isn't Walsh.
Yeah.
Where's Walsh gone?
I'll even say the Benny in this one seems, he seems a bit more. Bit less Benny, just a little bit less innocent, a bit more kind of like, I'll do what it takes. I think in the Benny and Ray moment that we're speaking of, which we can't remember, but I seem to remember it was more Benny being a bit more jovial, a bit more Mickey-taking, as opposed to a bit more like, he's an extremely earnest character.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like Benny didn't really know what to do. It was very, very obvious, right? Ray is in love with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And Benny didn't really know what
to do. So strict on not doing anything.
But then the weird things of like, well, I'm going to hurt this guy. I'm just like, bam, I'm going to open a car door at the wrong time just to physically hurt someone just because you've hurt my friend. That's not Benny.
It's very un-Benny.
That's not Benny.
Very un-Benny.
Those little things. It's just like, this is weird. This isn't what we're used to.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, it wasn't, there was a few characters we were getting behaviours from that we're not used to, like Walsh and Benny, and even Ray as well, even the behaviours we get from, you know, new Ray, it's like, no, this isn't what we're used to, what's going on?
Yeah.
It was not a bad episode, I enjoyed it a lot, but it's like, what's happening? What's happening with this episode?
But I mean, I guess one of the characters I probably appreciate the most in the way they do it is new Ray, because he's still quite open, like, you know, you could still add stuff to that character that we haven't seen. Yeah. You know,
there's very no new to us,
we can still learn more about him. So I like the fact that he's like he's very strict on himself in the way the other Ray wasn't. That when he loves someone and it's over, though, he will stick to his guns of like, no, it's over. Like, this isn't good for either of us. And he stops it happening. And previous Ray might have let it happen for a minute and then come to his senses. But that's a really nice differentiator between them. You know, it's like that's, even though he's not perhaps in some ways as clued on as the Ray we know, he's like a bit more buffoonish, but he's like, he's got some street smarts.
Yeah.
The one thing he's got, it's like he's strictly loyal. So, you know, it's like when he's finished with someone. When there was someone else, no, he doesn't interfere with that. He's not that kind of guy. And that's a really great character differentiator. Yeah. I like it.
Ooh.
But the other ones, it does seem like, yeah, they're just acting out of character.
Yeah.
We know enough about their characters to know that that's out of character.
That's not, yeah, it's not normal for them. It was a little bit strange to watch, really, wasn't it? Then I've written down, Ray, come on in, close his door. So that was, so Ray, he's round his ex-wife's house. And they're dancing, they're talking, they end up kissing, and it's looking like he might stay the night round there. And Benny...
So he's a little tempted, I mean,
like, the slightest bit tempted.
Yeah.
Slightest bit tempted to stay the night with her. And then Benny is like, no, this is a bad thing. I need to get you out of this situation. And he's like, he ends up going around there, and he's like knocking on the door, and like Ray opens it like, this is a really bad time, this is like the worst time that you can come around right now, what do you want, this is like a really bad time. And then Ray's kind of Benny's kind of like, oh, you know, this is bad, you know potentially this is could affect your life, you know.
Yeah,
this is, you know, he's
like, this, yeah, is, this is the one time when he is okay. Yeah, I should
this
say
is
he is
Benny,
a bit
Benny right now.
No, but like, I should say that
you're trying to have sex to save your life. You know,
yeah, and I should say Ray here is a little bit tempted. Sorry, I'd said as if he isn't tempted at all, but I'm saying he tries a little harder, like he keeps himself to account for a little longer than maybe other Ray did in the same situation.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is that Benny says to him when like Ray opens the door, because like Ray's just like, this is like a really bad time, right? Really bad time right now, and Benny's like, right. You could die, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, you could die if you don't listen to me right now. And Ray kind of like realizes, oh, he wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't.
Well, exactly. I like that. I like that. There's other shows where it's like they might question someone or go, it's like, oh, come on, what are you on about? Where it's like, no, you say that. We jump to
you,
it. You know, yeah. That's partners.
You, I believe you. And then Ray's like, oh, you better come in. But then he closes the door on him.
Yeah.
I think that's what I wrote down. He closes the door. But then I don't know if like Benny knocks again, but then he opens it. It's like, oh, no, come on. Like, come on in. It's quite, the way they filmed that, I thought was quite fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun way of doing it. That was good. And then we end up with a situation where Benny throws a bomb. I'm trying to think, was that in the...
Oh, yeah, we get another bomb, and then he throws it like it was...
Yeah, but was that in the flat that they were in?
Yeah, it was in the flat with Ray and Stella.
Yeah, so Ray...
And he, like, waits until the last moment. And I think the principle is that if he waits until the last moment to throw up in the air, when it explodes, it'll be at the highest point before it starts coming back down.
Yeah.
So he waits until the last moment, throws it up, so it's a nice dramatic moment, blows up, no one gets hurt.
Well, okay, because I think for a while it was looking like it was the Orsini, the boyfriend that they wanted to kill, but I think Benny realised, actually, it's not the boyfriend, it's actually her, it's Stella.
Yeah.
Someone is trying to kill Stella, and I think that's why he went there that night, wasn't it? And then afterwards he realised, it's this bloody guy that, this, you know, she's a divorce lawyer, helping this woman go through a divorce, and it's the guy that this woman's divorcing, that he's the one who's trying to kill her.
Yeah, I mean, I get it that it's someone we're not expecting, and that's good that we, like, you want to go for someone we're not expecting, but it has to be someone who's relevant to the story for me. That person seems so relevant that it's like, oh, it's that guy. It's like, well, why do I care it's that guy?
Yeah, none of us do.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels a bit of a missed opportunity to make it someone who we care about it being. Yeah, again, it's like, I didn't see it coming, but like, why would I care that it's coming, that it's him?
Yeah.
If you tie it back to the center, say it's like you have a character who's working from the center all the way through, how would it be him? Like, you know, that would be a nice way of tying in, and
it,
like, yeah.
It made sense that someone would try and kill him.
And show him being protective of the center or the candidate or whatever he's meant to be.
Yeah.
And then when he turns out to be guilty, it's like, he goes, oh, I did it all for you. It's like, no, I didn't ask you to do this. Like, it makes it more empowering. It shows the tendency to be a good guy that way as well. Just make it some random guy is like, it was me. Yeah, I was in it at the beginning, remember?
But yeah, it's like, but if you're in a relationship and you're getting divorced, like killing the divorce lawyer doesn't change the fact your partner doesn't want to be with you anymore and wants to divorce you. So it was weird, I thought.
Well, it's just blaming her, I guess, for something which wasn't her fault. It wasn't the strongest motivation in a character.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think for us that was a little bit weird, wasn't it?
Just a little anticlimactic, I think.
Yeah. So after all that was resolved, we did have a nice little bit at the end where Benny's back in his consulate.
And all through the episode, sorry, we've missed that at the beginning of the episode and kind of partway through, he's always going, it's like, can you hear that? Sorry, what's that noise?
Yeah,
and when they go, the it's like, yeah, they go, it's like... the results came back like you're totally in the clear. It's like, do you hear that noise? Like, no. I think the evaluation may need a bit more fine tuning or something like that.
Yeah, he kept hearing noises.
And then he finally finds out the reason why he's been hearing noises is it's because his dad is making a lock cabin to work from. We were talking about the fact that it felt until this moment. A lot of it felt very unusual due south, whereas this moment felt very due south. Very it's like, so his dad has got this cabin now, which we see play out in the rest of the series. It's by the way, it's fairly nice. I mean, I can't remember much from the actual scene, but just
I know. Cause I remember Benny's talking to Thatcher and he's talking about the results of his analysis. And then
she hears like some talking and then opens the door and he's just like in the cupboard and she can't obviously see his dad's office and then shuts it and he's back in the office.
Yeah, because Turnbull had taken over Benny's position and then she came and she told him, his brain's like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, the results came back like Turnbull's like brain's like Swiss cheese. And clearly you are fine. She tells like Benny, you're absolutely fine.
Doesn't she compare his brain to something?
Yeah, so Turnbull's state of mind is Swiss cheese. But then he's like, oh, okay, fine. And then he goes into the cupboard and sees his dad in this like cabin thing that he made, but his office. It was like a cabin, didn't it? But it was his dad's office.
Log cabin office, which would be
office. And he was like, questioned him because his dad was like, oh yeah, I haven't been able to do much work, and he was like, what work have you got to do? And he's like, well, you clearly don't understand.
Doesn't he say something? It's in this episode he says something about like taxes, like the IRS,
something that
it's like but you don't pay tax, you're dead. It's like, oh, they'll catch up with you, son.
But yeah, literally Benny is just in a cupboard just talking to himself.
Yeah.
And Turnbull Thatcher, she just opens the door and Benny is just stood there talking in the cupboard. And I think that's where he goes, yeah, I think the test might need a little bit more
bit more work
or something.
It is a lovely
it was a weird episode, but perfect stuff ending. They managed to like bring it back at the end, like, oh, we need to make this a proper due self. You know, there was a few bits along the way, but overall, it wasn't your typical due south episode, was it?
Yeah, so I think it's that time. Oh, by the way, another comment by our friend Sarah. Me drop my phone. That was the end of Burn Down the House about the taxes. Oh, sorry, I'm thinking about another one. But still, it was a very nice end of this episode and very much, I like it. Anytime you can bring in Gordon Pinsent.
Yeah. Never a waste bringing him into an episode, is it? It's always a good thing.
God, no.
I mean, he nails it every single time.
Paul Gross. And we got exactly Sarah by Facebook user. Sorry, we don't know which user it is, but thank you very much. We appreciate it. Yeah. But yeah, that's the episode. So we have to go into this next feature, which is... can you give me the information I seek? Dun, and tell me what the best moments of the week Thank you very much, Blaine Garrison. Even though it's me doing the I'm just doing an impression of your wonderful jingles, which you do for us here in Due South by Southeast. I could not come up with this genius. I'm just parroting his miraculous works. And Michelle, could you just put a little bit of mixer in our drinks before we keep going? Because I'm again parched. I'm getting parched here.
If you could,
I'm getting parched.
Hold them.
Oh, two microphones on me. What the power? The power. The power. The
too
power,
much power.
So, a fine rum, which we've been drinking tonight, and a very weird episode, very much out of the norm for Due South. And I don't know. I mean, I do hope. I can't remember some of the episodes. Like Sarah was saying, it's a series I'm less familiar with, even though I've seen all the episodes. So it'll be interesting to look it through a new lens. But I don't remember all episodes being like this one. I think this was its own kind of beast and something a bit different. And I'm glad we had this experiment, but I want something a bit more like that I'm familiar with. And some of them, I remember the last series, or the last two series, depending on where you were watching it, being a bit more large as opposed to this one being a lot more serious, it feels. So anyway, that's me vamping while you're filling up our drinks. And cheers, people.
Cheers.
So the best moment of the week. So, Michelle. In this. The Year of the Dragon!
Rawr.
Rawr. Anyway, so, Michelle, what is your most Canadian of the week?
I think this is the one I've struggled with the most.
The most.
On this episode. I think I'm going to go... I'm still thinking.
For me to do mine.
Yeah, do yours first. Do yours first.
Mine's going to be, and it's the first time because we can use them all once for each thing, and then you've got to pick someone new. I'm going to say Ray Kowalski as the most Canadian because more so than first Ray ever did, he sticks by his morals. He does have a waiver at some point. For the large part, he's saying it's like, no. It's going to be hurtful to you if we go on. Whereas, like, Ray had to be stopped by his ex going, no, this isn't a good thing for us. Boom.
Okay.
Oh, mic drop.
I think it's been a tricky one. It's been a tricky one this week. I think I'm going to go for the ex-girlfriend. That might seem a weird choice, but I think at the end of the day, I think she was just trying to create a nice life for herself, find some happiness. Obviously, you know, she's had a marriage breakdown. I don't think there was anything bad behind her. I think
so. You're thinking she was a good person?
I think
much
she was
like
a good person. Maybe just caught in a bad situation.
On the whole, to be
maybe just trying to make the best of her situation, maybe. I don't know. I don't think there was anything innate bad about her or anything. I think she was a good person, trying to move on, trying to make the best of things.
Much like Canadians do.
Oh, they're good people, aren't they?
They're good people. We love the Canadians.
They're good people.
So, we're going to go now to what the most American of the week was. For you, Michelle.
I want to call Ocelini. That sounds wrong now. The boyfriend.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think he was trying to live the American dream.
I was going to go for him for very similar reasons.
You
yeah.
were
going to
go
for he was going for the political American dream. Politics is wrapped up with American dream, I think.
Again, I don't think he's a bad person. I think he was just trying to live the American dream. Trying to improve things. You know, he's...
And he had the Honest Abe thing about, like, he trusted his wife, even, like, to the point where it's, like, it was a bit weird he was pushing her. It still is weird. I don't know what nationality that belongs to, but he trusted his wife with her ex and knew that her heart was true. And, like, that belief is what I think is about the best about America and lives up to its ideals.
I think, yeah, I know that a lot of people were being pushed out of the neighbourhood that he was trying to improve, but I think... he didn't come across as nasty. I think he was just trying to improve things.
And also,
he wasn't thinking about the downside of that as he was breaking up communities.
Well, that sort of speaks to the American dream as well, the controversy of, like, keep on moving and pushing this forward. But what does that leave in its wake? Yeah, and then there's something America grapples with. So I think it's very layered, this one. We've done very well, I think, quite frankly. Sorry to pat ourselves on the back, but we're just fucking geniuses. What can I say?
Hey, do you know what we should add to this one? Who was the most Indian of the week?
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's not. Let's not get cancelled tonight. What was the best?
This is so funny to me. We had the whole short circuit thing going on with that guy.
Because we both thought it independently, genuinely. I was like, short circuit, and you go, oh, I was thinking just that. Genuinely, it was really uncomfortable.
That's where the accent's from,
short circuit,
not India.
Yeah. It felt a little problematic, is all I'm going to say. I do want to actually do look up on that actor, but not right now.
I'm sure he's a great actor, but it was
that. In fact, actually, I feel like we should, or on the episode, we should actually just clarify. He is or isn't an Indian actor. But, like, either way, yeah, it seems the performance was not okay, even if he was an Indian actor.
But, wow, I mean, it was something.
Do we know the name of the Indian character?
I don't know.
I think it was Tom Abbott. It's played by Cadell Brown. It does look like it. I think it's this guy, and I think if it is the guy who I'm looking at, he is a genuine Indian guy, or Asian guy. Sorry, if I'm sorry. Oh, actually might be a black actor who was playing Indian. Oh. Actually, yeah, which still isn't ideal, but. It seemed like problematic betrayal is all we're saying. I don't know what to say about that. It was just like it seemed like it was very over the top Indian character who maybe would not live up to today's standards, shall we say. Anyway, we'll move on from that. No Indian of the week. We're just not going to go there. Stephen Baker moment of the week. Well, I would say him being prudish, it just seemed very Stephen Baker. Like, any time when you can get Stephen Baker being characterful, doesn't matter what he's showing, it's like, him being prudish, him being, like, loving, him being, like, fine some weeks.
There wasn't a lot of deepness.
Him being an action hero when he breaks down doors, that was the best. That may be my best Stephen Baker moment of all time.
So many, like, action shots and things. This week wasn't the week for that, was it?
I'm going to say, actually, one day, and unfortunately it's not going to be that many episodes forward. We're going to run out of Due South episodes, and we might have to go to a different TV show. But when we do, I feel like we should do a show where it's just like our favourite moments of Due South. Like our Due South Mini Mountie Awards or something. I feel like that's what we should build up to at the end.
Wow.
But we've got many episodes to talk about first.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
And we're really shit about getting around to recording, so don't get me wrong. I'm going to be going for years longer.
About 10 years.
With our schedule, We're trying to do one every month, but we said that 2 months ago, so, you know. We'll do our best. So we're going to go for one in March. I want to do one in March. March's a busy month, but we're going to do one in March. Anyway, what was your Teeth Bake moment of the week?
I think it had to be the same. In Prudish in the car when they were kissing, hilarious.
Good old Deepa Baker, and wonderfully played by Draco in this incident. So I think that's it, Michelle.
I think it is.
Have we covered all the moments of the week, all the best things, all the what rum we're drinking, all the Mini Mala Club A, Golden Circle, Dotty.
Watch the show.
Hello.
Yeah, I think we're there.
Wrote the team tune, sang the team tune.
We'll sing if you want us to. We're not the best singers.
We could be so good to you. I would like to thank Sarah Kirk for all our comments and Facebook users. Sorry we didn't get your names through. But thank you very much for joining us. I have been Detective Squee With me has been Lieutenant Willow and
Mountie Michelle.
And Michelle, if you would, take flight of fancy. Oh, by the way, where can they contact us?
JuicesFBSE at gmail.com.
Where else?
On well, the thing is, I was going to say the Twitter thing, but what's that?
X.
X. It's X now. Don't confuse me by changing.
I will know, like, the URL is still Twitter, so let's go with Twitter and Instagram. It is?
Instagram, so that'd be at JuicesFBSE.
And where can they find the podcast version, which this will be on tomorrow?
www.juicesfbse.
The wonkies, it's on the screen.
Where? Oh.
Read it on the screen.
www.wonkyspanner.com/podcast/JuicesFBSE.
It's on the screen in front of you. Where's that? And what rum were we drinking?
It's a good rum. It's too good a rum. So we're drinking the Crusty Juggler.
And we're only my best moments of the week again. Sorry, no. Let's not get through it all again. Jesus Christ. Read what's on the screen. Where is it? On the screen.
I wasn't looking at the screen.
So, Michelle, imagine if they were having, say, maybe, just imagine a compass in front of them, and they wanted to keep it pointed in a direction until we next meet again. What direction might they point it in?
Due south by southeast?
Eh? By the way, just quickly for the post-credit bit, the other day I went to London to see Back to the Future, and I went into the Maple Leaf pub, which is a Green King pub around the corner from the Adelphi Theatre, where they're showing Back to the Future, the musical. Absolutely wonderful. And it was amazing. They had a bear dressed up in a hockey jersey and with a hockey stick. And it was full of just a wonderful Canadian. And one of the things was they had, it was Biff, like some sort of like fake chicken wings or something, or like a vegan one. I was like, I've just seen Back to the Future. I'm going to have the Biff. I went up and they were at them. Now the Biff. I mean, I've just seen Back to the Future. I want my Biff thing. Anyway, yeah. So I would highly recommend the Maple Leaf up in London if you're going to see Back to the Future. Hey.
Hey.
Night.